The show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Beyond Diputera Agong today released a statement stressing that Parliament should convene as soon as possible to enable proper discussion of the emergency ordinance and the COVID-19 recovery plan. Now, the statement comes following a series of meetings between His Majesty with 18 political leaders since last week, all of which culminated in a special meeting with the Conference of Rulers today. But there were two statements released today. In a separate statement, the Conference of Rulers declared unanimously that there is no need for the state of emergency to be extended beyond the 1st of August, and that the state legislatures in their respective states should also convene as soon as possible. Now, what will these statements, how will these statements be read by the different stakeholders, and what will this mean for Malaysia moving forward during this triple crisis? Tonight on the show, we'll speak to two veteran political observers about the possible outcomes following these statements. Joining us first on the show, we have political scientist and social activist Dr. Chandra Muzaffar, president of the NGO International Movement for a Just World, or better known as JUST. Good evening, Chandra. Thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. Now, how are you reading the two statements? And do you, in your view, see these statements as an endorsement of the current administration or one of rebuke? How are you interpreting them?
Neither. I don't think it's a rebuke because the recovery plan announced by the Prime Minister a couple of days ago also talks about the reconvening of Parliament. Is more specific in terms of its timetable. And he doesn't mention the extension of the emergency, which was not in the pipeline at the beginning. Because if you remember the declaration of emergency in January this year, it did say that it could end before the 1st of August or by the 1st of August. So I don't think the government has talked about wanting to extend the emergency. From that point of view, there is, I think, a certain congruence between the statements issued by the palace and the conference of rulers and the government's position.
Chandra, it does seem curious, though, that in the neither statement is there an explicit mention of the Prime Minister or his government or in support of it. They are general statements, including from the conference rulers, saying there's a need for stable and trusted government, but it doesn't mention the fact that this government is either stable or trusted. How do you read those elements and tone within those statements?
Yeah, well, that would be one reading, that there's no explicit endorsement of what the government has done so far. If you look at other statements made by the Yang Diputera Agong in the past, there have been occasions where he's explicitly endorsed the government of the day. He has avoided doing that, and the Conference of Rulers has also avoided doing this, partly because, I think, because of the way the situation has evolved. You have political parties that are unhappy with what has been happening. A segment of the population, I think, would also like to see a different scenario. The government, on the other hand, knows it has got a task to fulfill, and it is not saying that it has done a fantastic job, but on the other hand, I suppose, as the executive, it would have expected the Conference of Rulers to give a pat on the back, but that did not happen.
Chandra, you know, in this statement, the Yang Diputera Agong stressed that Parliament should convene as soon as possible, but he also made a statement on the 24th of February in which he said that Parliament was able to convene during the state of emergency. I'm just wondering whether you see any difference in terms of urgency from the two statements, the one from today and the one from February, granted the use of the word boleh bersidang in February and currently perlu bersidang for today's statement. Do you think that that might, show a certain sense of urgency coming out from the palace?
I would interpret that in a slightly different way normally. So I would say that Purlieu is against Boulay-Brissidan. Purlieu suggests that it is necessary. One has to Brissidan, you know? And it's stronger, it carries more weight. In other words, it's the palace's way or the conference of rulers. It's their way of telling the government of the day that it should not delay the reconvening of parliament. And I think quite a lot of people will go along with that. Why? Because there are major issues that have to be addressed, where members of parliament, as elected representatives of the people, should have their say, and there should be open deliberations and all the rest of it. Among them would be the recovery plan. The recovery plan is important, and I think it is critical that the legislators have their say. And before that, we have had, of course, the declaration of emergency itself, which may become academic in a while, but nonetheless important in terms of what it implies. Now, these are things that Parliament should meet to discuss. Now, if this happens, Parliament meets, discusses important challenges facing the nation, it would be good for democracy. It would be good for the nation as a whole.
Chandra, there is a kind of elephant in the room, and that has to do with the stability of Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin's government. He is backed by many parties, but UMNO has been rather blowing hot and cold, as it were, in terms of its support for his government, and there are factions within it who say they should pull out of the government. Now, do you think that concerns the Prime Minister and might have in many ways shaped their attitudes towards convening parliament?
I think so. Not just this prime minister. I think any prime minister would be concerned about this, because UMNO is rightly or wrongly the mainstay of the ruling coalition. UMNO itself, and I think this is something that should be stressed over and over again, is divided. It's not just two factions. There are perhaps at least three factions within UMNO, and they don't see eye to eye on every issue, and certainly not on issues pertaining to parliament, elections, and all the rest of it. So I think this must weigh heavily on his mind, on the mind of the Prime Minister. And maybe this is the reason why he had suggested, I'm just guessing, October as a possible date for the reconvening of parliament, because he may be hoping that things would stabilize by then. And right. Why would they stabilize? Perhaps he's hoping that the immunization program would have worked out quite well by then.
But Chandra, perhaps, he made
sorry,
that
could I just add one other thing?
Chandra, yeah. Yes, sure, of course.
Yeah, sorry, if I could just make one other statement. I think the other reason why he may be hoping that things would have stabilized by October is the outcome of some of those cases involving very important personalities in UMNO. I think the outcome would be known by then, by October.
Oh, that's interesting. That's a point that's not I've not seen made in the public domain before. Can I ask you, though, he did make that announcement for the National Recovery Plan before these statements were announced today, so that September-October deadline was given before the ruler's statements. I'm wondering, do you think that these statements could possibly have him recalibrate his decisions or his timelines? What options remain with the Muhyiddin Yassin administration at this point in time?
Well, I think his main concern, Melissa, would be the immunization program. If the immunization program meets its stipulated targets, you know, if let's say by October 40%, 50% are immunized, then I think he would want to proceed along those lines. If, on the other hand, the situation is not looking good, he may even have reasons to postpone some of the other goals that he's set himself.
Chandra, I mean, you've been a long time not observer and also, of course, participant in Malaysian politics. What do you see, you know, beyond the kind of near-term responses that the current administration might have or other stakeholders might have in reading these statements and mobilizing on the basis of these statements, what do you think we're in for in the long run, considering what now looks like an inherent instability within the system, the fractiousness of political life, the lack of the inability of political parties to hold together, in fact. What trends do you see shaping Malaysian politics in the near term?
Mm-hmm. Good question, Sherrod. I think the political dimension of the threat to instability, if you can put it that way, I think that is something that's going to be shaped by a number of factors. One of the principal factors will, of course, be the economy. There has to be a very significant economic recovery, and that will impact upon the position of the various actors. And of course, the court cases, we can't run away from that. And not just these court cases, if I may say this, in this very difficult atmosphere that we're in, I think there are also other court cases which would impact upon what would unfold in the next few months, involving major political figures in the country too. And I suspect this is one of the reasons why a couple of individuals may be pushing for the reconvening of Parliament. I can't go beyond this, but I'm sure the observers know what I'm talking about. And that leads me to something which I think is very critical about Malaysian politics, the nature of Malaysian politics. There are all these underlying currents, which I play all the while, more so in the last 3 or 4 years than in the past. And this is something that we cannot ignore. In other words, I wish that those who want Parliament to reconvene are people who are committed to the parliamentary process, to democracy, and who want to see major national issues debated, discussed thoroughly. Now, if they want to use the institution for some other purpose, because they have other motives, and those motives may be related to what I just said, the court cases, some people thinking of their own future and so on, it would be sad. But this is something that is very real in Malaysian politics. There are all these nefarious agendas that are also at work at the same time.
Thank you so much, Chandra, for joining us on the show tonight. That was political scientist Dr. Chandra Muzaffar. We're going to take a quick break here on Consider This, but more on this topic in just a couple of minutes. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Pertembungan 24 pasukan terbaik Eropah kini bermula. Setiap detik, setiap gol,
maka lebih sukar untuk COVID menjangkit kita.
Untuk tempoh 2 minggu ini, duduk di rumah. Kalau kita boleh laksanakan KKP kendiri dan keluarga,
saya kira insyaAllah kita boleh berjaya. Akhirnya kita menang.
Perang COVID-19 masih belum berakhir. Dalam kita berusaha memutuskan rantaian wabak ini, kita jangan terpedaya dengan virus maklumat palsu. Semak fakta melalui www.esraawani.com atau aplikasi Esra Awani. Teruskan berdisiplin, ratakan lengkungan pandemi ini.
The third wave of COVID-19 has taken us by storm. There's no room to take anything lightly. Everyone must follow all the steps to stop the spread of COVID-19. Social distancing, face masks, follow these steps, this SOP, with the utmost discipline. Together, we can flatten the curve.
Kini berwajah baru.
Ini pula susulan nahas pesawat Back Air di Kazakhstan. Pesawat berkenaan dilaporkan tergelincir 2 kali.
Notifikasi berita terkini dan navigasi mudah. Podcast dikemas kini dengan berita dan program.
Rebirth, reformasi, resistance and hope.
Serta video tanpa had dengan scroll tanpa henti. Buat turun aplikasi baru Astro Awani sekarang.
Semua yang terjadi adalah berita, tetapi tiada siapa yang boleh bawakan yang terkini dan tergempar seperti kami.
Dilihat hanya memberi wang tanpa matlamat yang tepat. Dia tidak melakukan apa-apa kesalahan.
Untuk mendapatkan jawapan yang bermakna, kita perlu soalan yang tepat.
Amat sedih dengan apa yang berlaku di atas.
Tiada ruang untuk berita palsu.
Negara kita telah merekodkan kes harian baru sebanyak...
Hanya fakta salah yang saya diberikan.
Faham. Amat penting untuk meneruskan perjuangan negara melawan pandemik ini.
Sentiasa memastikan suara anda, suara rakyat didengari.
Kenapa?
Membawakan apa yang penting di mana sahaja anda berada.
Kerana kita hendak putuskan rantaian jangkitan.
Belanjawan dan pendekatan bertemakan survival ini secara keseluruhan.
Teruskan bersama kami, Astro Awani, saluran berita yang paling dipercayai rakyat Malaysia.
News is a constant. Whatever the time, wherever you are, it will reach you. What's key are its credibility and accuracy. Without bias, with context covering all angles. This is what you'll get on Awani Tonight. We'll brief you the news and views of the day that matter, all in 15 minutes. Weekdays at 9:45 p.m. only on Astro Awani.
Perang COVID-19 tetap belum berakhir. Pastikan setiap langkah berjaga-jaga diamalkan, dari kebersihan tangan, pemakaian pelitup muka, penjarakan fizikal. Kesemuanya amat penting untuk pastikan pandemik ini dibendung.
Fokus kita sekarang adalah gelombang ketiga. Elakkan.
Of the Conference of Rulers earlier today, chaired by the Yang di-Pertuan Agong. What outcomes, if any, can we expect following these statements? Let's ask distinguished Professor Datuk Dr. Shamsul Amri Baharudin. He's the chairperson of the National Professors Council. Good evening, Professor Shamsul. Thank you for joining us on the show tonight. Let's begin this conversation with your reading of not just the Yang di-Pertuan Agong statement, but also the one that was released collectively by the Malay rulers. What did you make of these two statements?
Well, I think I would like to look beyond just these two statements, because I think the whole exercise of convening the various leaders and also the royal family members is summed up in the statement of Agong, where he says that this is a platform, you know, a platform. He used the term platform. Malaysia is very famous for building integration platform, bargaining, negotiation, and mediation. That is our strength. So today, we have heard the result of this building of integration platform with a statement regarding a concrete and specific recovery plan. He doesn't call it recovery plan, but I see it as a recovery plan because it's got the elements of recovery plan that the government have announced a few hours ago, 48 hours ago. So I can see that almost when we talk about the parliamentary sitting that the Agong wants to be held, it to be held as soon as possible, it's all about providing the agenda for that meeting. So Agong has listed out the concrete and specific items that he thought that you should talk in the parliament about: reduction of number of people affected by COVID, 80% target for herd immunity, strong and stable government, and then issue of budget, and all those stuff has to be discussed. So I think he has provided what he wanted the parliament to think and to start thinking before they meet and discuss. So it's almost like a special
if I can interrupt you. There is concern about the difference in tone between the February 28th statement and the one that was produced today. The difference between Boleh Bersidang and Perlu Bersidang, and in fact the Conference of Rulers statement suggesting that there should not be an extension of the emergency, which has been in fact the reason used not to convene parliament. How are you reading all these things? I mean, especially in terms of the sense that you have about whether these statements are a rebuke or an endorsement of the current administration?
Well, I think it's not so much. Well, it is endorsing the current administration, you like it or not, because Agung works on the advice of the Prime Minister in the end. Okay? So that's what the Constitution wants. We want something else, but the Constitution wants something else. So even though this is apparently independent of the government, which I don't believe so, it has to be closely related. Can you imagine boleh or perlu, it shows there's a progression. We have gone through how many months, we were waiting, and here we are. What do we do now? The parliamentary sitting has to be urged now, or shall we wait? So all these are, there is an unwritten, unspoken meaning to, as it's revealed to us in many ways. Yeah. So I think it's just very clear that I see there's no difference very much between the National Recovery Plan, the four different stages, and the content of this. Except that now they want this issue, National Recovery Plan, to be discussed in the Parliament and how to revive the economy. So I think the Parliament is important insofar as giving viewpoints outside. You know, it used to be outside the ring, so to speak. But now in the Parliament, they are able to say this and whatever they want to say, critic or otherwise, constructive or otherwise, which I think people, apart the public, is also waiting, because the public is also divided. Focus on the COVID or focus on political stability. And apparently,
if I may interject, yeah. Professor Shamsul, do you think that Parliament will be convened earlier than what was mentioned yesterday during the National Recovery Plan, earlier than the expected September-October timeline? Now that these statements have come out, will we see Parliament? Is there an urgency to convene Parliament?
Yeah, of course. But then urgency is not without qualification. The qualification is try to achieve the target 80% community vaccinated and reduce the number of people affected by COVID vaccination as exit strategy. These are all conditions towards whether enough or not for the Parliament to be safe or not for the Parliament to sit. So I think the month September, October, this is planning. This is a technique of planning that I've been involved with so many times. You know, they give you a set time, but they also have time for variation order, we call it in business. So we have, these are things that expectation versus plan. This is a plan. And I think they can be shifted.
Yeah, so you're reading this as giving wiggle room for the current administration to basically do what it deems necessary, right? So this puts no pressure, if I'm reading you correctly, this puts no pressure on the current administration to actually change its plans. The question is, will other stakeholders read these statements differently? And will they be backed by the kind of tone and the language used in the statements to say, in fact, Parliament can be convened right away? After all parliamentarians have been vaccinated and Parliament building is SOP compliant.
Yeah, but we must also remember there's a huge business sector that also wants this thing to be resolved. There are three things they want to see. Number one, the number of daily COVID infection is reduced. Number two, the capability of the public healthcare system based on the bed utilization rate in intensive care ward are sustainable, and the speed of vaccination. These are the only three important things for business people to look at. And also, in some sense, the parliamentarian cannot go beyond this. They just have to discuss these matters clearly and putting across their opinion. And then they can suggest. I think the most interesting thing that you have to do now is not just Parliament. I'm looking on the ground as a trained anthropologist. I'm looking at what happened on the ground. How many people get injected today? How many get tested? I think these are basic still to a lot of people on the ground. So you can go on talking about at a higher level, so-called, and plans and whatnot. But I think this is where the government needs a lot of space to, for example, this evening I heard KJ was talking about the detailed plans of different sections of the society. How do you deal with rural people in Sarawak? I mean, I don't know whether the parliamentarians are going to discuss this, really. But I think the nitty-gritty has to be dealt with. And I think this is where, simultaneously, the big picture must be addressed and the nitty-gritty must be resolved.
Can I ask you, in the few minutes that we have left, I'm just wondering, I know you said to look beyond these two statements, but I think it's been a culmination of a heightening political risk profile for Malaysia, which also impacts the economy and business sentiment and investor confidence and all of that. I'm wondering what, in terms of the big picture, what happens next? What do you think are the options at play right now for the current administration? Where do we go from here? What cards should be on the table right now?
Well, they are the one who's going to decide when the parliament will sit. Okay? Of course, with endorsement from AGO. So, why do they want to sit? If they want to sit, they must make sure they have these three things achieved. Good rate of achievement is high. Capability, the number of daily COVID is reduced. Capability of public health care is improved. And the speed of vaccination. So I think these three factors is very critical. They are very critical in deciding whether or not the stage three will be open for convening of parliament. I think this is the side that the government is looking at, because it's not just tomorrow we're going to have this. No? They have to have some reason and argument, and they want to show something, some development, some progress. And I think that's what they're trying to do.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. That was Professor Shamsul Amri Baharudin of the National Professors Council wrapping up the show for tonight. That was all we have on this episode. I'll consider this. But before we leave you tonight, a reminder that you can get all the latest news and information on COVID-19 vaccines at the Astro Awani website, which is astroawani.com, or the Astro Awani app. Thank you so much for watching the show tonight. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
We'll be back same time tomorrow. Till then, good night.
Good night.